Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one thing that we have no doubt all said several times the last few days is Happy New Year. It's the new public greeting at this time of year, persists for a few days at least. And we've all used it in private and maybe also in public with our family, with our friends, with neighbors, co-workers. Happy New Year, we say, or we text, or we put in a card or something, Happy New Year. But of course, there's always a question, what will make this truly a happy new year? And what helps us to answer that question is the Bible, including also a text like the one that's before us this morning. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So that's a different standard maybe than we're used to. Happy is the man who is always reverent. What's common today is if you're healthy and you're wealthy, then you're happy. The common understanding is if you've got family and friends, then you're happy. If you're making it in this world, then you're happy. The Bible teaches us to think deeper than is common in the world today. Happy is the man who is always reverent. Now, right away, we have to say happy here means so much more than is currently or contemporarily understood. Happiness, as the Bible teaches it, is deeper. It's more profound. We can say that happy in the Bible has in view the perspective of heaven. In other words, what the Lord thinks, what the Lord says, what the Lord gives. The truly happy man, happy woman, happy child is in fact blessed. Can even be translated that way, this word happy. Blessed is the reverent man, the reverent person. Blessed meaning cared for by the Lord, favored by the Lord, favored even forever by the Lord. And it is that happiness that is in view here that's being described for us. And you know this. This occurs elsewhere in the Bible as well. Let me just give you a couple examples for some context and reference. Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Or think of Jesus in Matthew 5 when he gives the Beatitudes and he speaks about blessed are the poor in spirit. Or blessed are those who mourn. Or blessed are the meek. And what he's saying is that people like that, people who are forgiven and humbled and lowly, people like that, they are blessed, incredibly blessed. Yes, Jesus would say blessed so much that even if they lack everything else in this world, if they have the blessing of God, the blessing of heaven, they are richer than all in this world. There is the secret to true, lasting, perfect happiness, to be blessed by the Lord. And our text then is really another instance of this kind of holy happiness, heavenly blessing, laid out for us. And this one is about reverence. Blessed, happy is the man who is always reverent. Always reverent. So that's the way to be happy. Ever think about that? Ever reflect on that? Is this a word too that we can stand to hear and ponder also this Lord's Day morning? Let's do that for a brief time. Always reverent. That being our theme. Words right from our text. Always reverent. And notice, first of all, the meaning. What is the meaning of this? Happy is the man who is always reverent. Reverent is a word that can also be translated trembling. Happy is the one who is always trembling. Now, that may sound strange, so we have to do some more work with it. Many times in the Bible, this word is also translated fear, fearing, or being afraid. And just to give you one other example of that, in Proverbs 3, verse 24, we read about the man who follows after wisdom and how that will protect him and preserve him. And among other things, verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will not tremble. You will not fear. So it's the same word in our text. In Proverbs 3:24, it's to describe something you won't experience, fear, trembling. In our text, it's promoted. Let's fear, let's tremble, let's be reverent. Now, that may still sound rather odd to us. Happy are the trembling, the fearing. But then we have to remember our text occurring in this book of Proverbs, in this context of wisdom literature, where the fear of the Lord is one of the prominent themes. What's in view here is ultimately a high view of God, a high view of the holiness of God. What's in view here, what the proverb is calling for really, is great awe of God, being so respectful of God and everything to do with God, His word, His will, His way. So respectful, so careful. That's the kind of trembling, holy fear, reverence. The second part of the text, all about not hardening your heart, that helps to confirm this understanding. We should never harden our hearts before the Lord. Instead, we ought to be always listening to Him and obedient to Him. For that is right, that is appropriate. That is how we ought to live in our relationship to Him, in great awe of Him, in great fear of Him, in great respect for Him, or now coming to our translation's word for it, reverence before Him. See, that's really the point. God deserves to be revered. God is worthy of the highest honor and esteem. And what is important, what is all important in our life is that we consistently maintain and reflect a high view of the Lord. In our minds and hearts, we ought to confess He is real. He exists. He is present. He is majestic. He is holy. He is great and greatly to be praised. He is full of glory. Happy is the man who is always reverent. And when we so understand the Lord in this way, then how we relate to Him is should that whole relationship will be suffused by this reverence. For example, the way we treat His word. Think of the Bible as a privilege to have it and read it and know it and learn it. Shouldn't we do so always with great care? Shouldn't we treasure this book of books? Shouldn't we be so careful never to mistreat it, never to neglect it, never to be reckless with it, never to discount it or disregard it, but instead to honor it and cherish it and study it and submit to it? Yes, submit to it. We shouldn't approach the book the Lord has given us simply as academics or as curious individuals. We should come to the book of God, with a spirit of surrender. Also, and especially when it proclaims to us the gospel. I mean, when it tells us all about the Savior, Son of God, including His coming and His life and ministry, and then also His suffering and death and His resurrection, and how that means He is the God-sent, God-appointed Savior for sinners like you and me, who are lost in our sin in Adam already way back in the fall in the Garden of Eden, who are conceived and born in sin and left to ourselves on the road to eternal darkness. But if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we turn from every sin and trust in Him, then He opens the way for forgiveness, for everlasting life. And reverence means that we take all of that so very seriously. And we do it. We turn from sin. And we trust in Christ. And not only the gospel, but also the way of the gospel, the life of the gospel, the way of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Reverence means we never despise the commandments of our Savior. We never ignore them. We never set them aside. We never think we don't need them. It's a point to make because it's so common, it's so natural, really, to sinful man. We're selective hearers so often of God's word. Just like kids can be selective hearers of their parents. I didn't hear that, they'll say. Oh, you said that? I didn't hear that. We can do the same with God's word. Or selective keeping. We may hear it and choose still not to do it. No, reverence means we say all of what God has said, we will seek to keep. In thankfulness and praise for so great a salvation we have received through Christ. Think too how reverence means that we walk humbly with God, and especially also in terms of his providential ways in our lives. How often we can be challenged here. I mean, when things are difficult, when they don't go our way, it's so easy, isn't it, to murmur and to complain. We read about the Israelites doing that so often in the wilderness. And we're no different, really. If the weather's not great, or if our plans get interrupted, or if we become ill, or if we don't like certain things that are happening. Of course, there can also be great trials that come, and that too we can be called to endure great pain, great loss, great limitations. The list can be very, very long, and those things can be very challenging. And yet, isn't it easy to be sinful in the way we respond also to the God of providence and to the providence of God? Isn't it easy, instead of trembling in godly fear, we can tremble in sinful selfishness and anger and rage? And how important always to remember that our lives and our times and all that we are belong to God, and we are in his hands, and he is in charge, and his wisdom is perfect. And when his ways are difficult, and they can be perplexing to be sure, but reverence means that we seek to walk humbly and submissively and to trust him. Or as we say in Lord's Day 10 of our catechism, to be patient in adversity. Think too how reverence means we seek always to speak of God and to speak to him in a way that is respectful. Oh, we may come to him freely and boldly, but always reverently. And all this, and we could say many more things, but these are some points to get us started. But all this is the way we reverence God, how we live in holy awe and fear and trembling before his great majesty. God, the triune God, and everything to do with him ought to be the greatest reality in our life. So highly thought of and respected and surrendered to in everything. And remember, happy is the man who is always reverent. Not miserable. Happy. Happy why? Happy because we enjoy peace with God. Happy because we live in communion with God. Happy because the way of reverence means no longer falling into sin or living in sin or covering sin, but living in a way that we confess our sin, forsake our sin, and walk in new obedience. And obedience always brings blessing. Yes, happy is the always reverent man, because living in that way, we're not separate from God, but we're close to God. And God draws near to us, and we experience the favor of God. Happy, blessed, favored, divinely smiled on is the reverent man. And let us always be that way. That's the other word to highlight in the text. Happy is the man who is always reverent. Always. That means all the time, continually. Day by day, week by week, year by year. You may take a vacation from your job. You may not take a vacation from reverence. You may not decide the next hour, no reverence for me. No respect for God from me. No. You may not say during this season of my life or in this relationship, God will be set aside. No. Always trembling, always turning and trusting, always hearing and heeding, always tender and teachable and obedient. Always. That's a challenging word, isn't it? How many times we can be reverent for a while, but not always? How many people are reverent on Sunday, but not Monday? Saturday. How many people might be reverent around certain people, but for the rest, maybe at home they're one way, at school they're one way, at work they're totally different. And if we are not consistently reverent, then we may well be unbelievers still. Though even as believers, we can struggle with always reverent. Let's be honest about that. The fact is, irreverence is deeply rooted in you and in me. Irreverence. failure to tremble before God, rejection of his glory. It's part of our sin nature. And it comes out in various ways, in a rebelliousness, in an inner carelessness, in even a resistance to his holiness. Who trembles consistently? Who reveres him constantly? Often we don't. Maybe because of weakness. Maybe because of forgetfulness. Maybe because of pressure. Maybe because of sloth. There can be all sorts of reasons. This text, in a way, exposes us. Happy is the man who is always reverent. And we're not. And we ought to be. And we ought to hear this text in a way that we confess where we fail. And we say, Lord, help us always to live this. Also because of what else the text tells us. And saying that, we go to our next point, the danger. So we have the meaning of the always reverent man, but there's also a danger. And the danger is twofold in a way. Twofold. The danger is first that if we're not always reverent, then we're very likely hardening our heart. And we learn that from the second half of the text. On the one hand, happy is the man who is always reverent. So that's one thing. But then, he who hardens his heart is a contrast. So what's that mean? He who hardens his heart. It's a language we've often heard. It's helpful maybe just to understand the imagery. It's graphic. It's vivid. It's striking. It's about your spiritual mind and heart and how tender you are or not. And someone who is hardening their heart is building a crust of resistance all around their spiritual mind and heart. Someone who is hardening their heart, it is like they are encasing their heart with cement. Every time another layer, and another layer. Well, maybe that image isn't so good because I'm not sure you can really layer cement over cement so well. But think of something else then. Think of forging a path through a field. And at first you trample down the grass. But over time, as you walk, eventually the grass dies and the ground gets kind of crusty, kind of hard, kind of firm. And the more times you walk that path, the firmer and tougher it gets, and eventually you can't even really take a hoe to it or a shovel. It's so hard. And that's something like what can happen to our spiritual mind and heart. I mean, we can do that to ourselves. We can harden our hearts. How can that happen? Well, what about when we hear the word of God, but we reject it? We disobey it. Maybe at home, mom and dad say, listen, this is what the Lord says. This is how we ought to live. And you say in your mind, maybe you say with your mouth, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. That's dangerous. What about when every law of God we don't like, we just reject and transgress? Or what about when we are convicted and sweating, perhaps because we realize we are in trouble and we should turn to God? We've been convicted of sin. We should repent of our sin, not cover it, but confess it. What happens if instead of that we suppress the conviction? We distract ourselves somehow. We get past the moment. We carry on in our own way. Do you realize that every time that is happening, we are in danger of hardening our heart? And it can happen. And in view of our text, what it's suggesting is that every time we're not reverent, whenever we are not always reverent, we are in danger at least, if not even doing it, right then and there, adding another layer, making that crust a little thicker, making the whole thing a little firmer and tougher and impenetrable. Do we realize that there is really no such thing as spiritual neutrality? There really is no such thing as sitting on the fence. I know we talk like that. I know there's a certain way in which we can understand that. But ultimately, it's not possible to do. Either we're reverent, tender, soft, teachable, surrendering, in awe of God, or else we're irreverent and hard and getting harder. And that means we can't afford not to be always reverent. If we are not always reverent, we are actually in great danger. If we are content to take a spiritual break, not watching, not vigilant, not fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, then we are in great danger. Because very likely we are in the way of hardening our hearts. And we might think, well, is that really so bad? We can always come back, you know, we can always change, we can always turn. But the text says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And here we find really the second danger. So the first is a hard heart. The second is what happens when you have a hard heart. Calamity. Falling into calamity. And that means that what is always possible and even inevitable is that if we are hardening our hearts and we never stop and we never turn, we never change, we never go to God and be soft before Him and seek His mercy, what's next is disastrous. We will fall into calamity. Here we can think of all sorts of things, I suppose. But just remember the people in Noah's day. While he was building that ark for how many years? 120 years building that ark. And all that time enduring the scoffing of the neighbors. But he wasn't just enduring the scoffing of the neighbors. He was preaching to them the way of righteousness. So they were hearing. They were rejecting. And one day the door of the ark was closed and the rain came. And they drowned. He who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Of course, not every hardened sinner drowns or dies suddenly or terribly or young or something. In fact, many worldly people, many unbelievers can seem to do very well and live a long time. And we may even wonder at different points, is this text true? He who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. But we need to hear this most of all in terms of eternity, eternal calamity, eternal disaster, hell. Isn't that the point above all? I mean, isn't that the terrifying end and future, really, of every irreverent man? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? He who does not believe in the Son of God shall not see life. Instead, the wrath of God abides on him, and eventually, inevitably, ultimately, he will go into eternal destruction. He will suffer everlasting punishment. This is the danger if we are not always reverent. We not only miss the happiness and blessedness and favor of God, we not only miss all that, but we risk losing our life forever in the fire of God's judgment, where there will be no relief, where there will be no getting out. And let this be a word of warning to anyone living in this way or tempted to live in this way. Maybe young people, maybe older ones, if you are living in irreverence, then whether you realize it or not, you are hardening your heart, and how close you may well be to calamity, everlasting calamity. Let's understand how near the edge we live, every one of us. There is but a step between us and death. Any second, something can happen. And suddenly we stand before God, and if it is with a hard heart and not a tender heart, not what the Bible describes as a new heart, oh, how terrible that will be. And let the truth of that wake you up to your responsibility to seek the Lord in the day of grace and to seek the happiness of all who are always reverent. But who can hear this rightly and not be concerned, especially when we know ourselves and we may confess to be reverent people and yet we find still so much irreverence in us? How is it possible really to experience the happiness of what this text describes? Can you just decide it? Can you resolve it? We know the answer, don't we? We don't have the power in us to live this way, left to ourselves. And so in view of that, we go to our last point this morning, and that's the key. Always reverent, the meaning, the danger, and lastly, the key. You might say, what is the key? Well, the key is found in remembering the one man who was always reverent. And that's, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He whose birth we could just finish celebrating. How many things we can say about Jesus Christ? So many things. We could write books and books. But one thing we can say in summary, one standout point of his life was this. He was always reverent. That's true, isn't it? I mean, no one else like Jesus lived as he did, so consistently in the fear of God, always respectful, always honoring towards his heavenly Father. And think how he loved the Word of God, how he upheld the Word of God. And think, too, how he submitted to all the ways of God. He never complained. He never murmured. He was patient in every adversity. Everyone. He looked up to God and lived in light of God. And he offered every moment to God. Everything. His whole life was an offering to his Father. He lived always reverent. Yes, never once did he slip. Not for one second was he careless or reckless, or did he indulge any laziness or slothfulness or sinfulness or selfishness. Never once did even the beginnings of a hard heart occur within him. Never once did he resist the holy will of God. He was a man who lived always reverent. And so he knew too the happiness of that, for how he lived in the blessing of God's favor, resting upon him and enjoying communion with his Father. No one lived so like him, always reverent. But then think of what else we know about the Savior, Son of God, this beautifully always reverent man. Think of how, despite all of that reverence, one day he fell into calamity. Didn't he? Isn't that what happened to him in the garden? And then in Pilate's hall, and then especially on the cross, the only man always to live reverently, into calamity he fell. The calamity of the wrath of God, the fire of God's judgment burning, blazing against him, or the billows of God's anger and fury overcoming him, infinite condemnation falling upon the beloved Son of God. Yes, and he falling into that calamity. And what was it for? Not for any irreverence of his own. Not because he had hardened his heart. No. So what was it for? What was it for, congregation? It was because he was enduring what you deserve and I deserve for all of our irreverence. As it comes out of us often in our earliest years and marks us, even when we are godly people, still we can be guilty at times of hardening ourselves. And he went to the cross, and he went into that calamity so as to pay for what we are like. All our failings to live reverently, he suffered. And the key to living differently, the key to living always reverently, is to look always to this Savior. To look always in faith to him and to see that in him we may receive forgiveness. And from him we may be cleansed. And for his sake we may find mercy. And through his blood our sin may be covered. And so when we talk about the key to always reverence, this is the first part of it. Learn to look in faith to Jesus Christ. For you can never know happiness and blessing without him. And then second, flowing from that, live in dependence on the Spirit of Christ. Live in dependence on the Spirit of Christ. At Pentecost, the risen Christ poured out his Holy Spirit. And what did he pour him out for? To do exactly this. Teach sinners like you and me, who are so irreverent left to ourselves, to become reverent. Isn't that what the Spirit does? When he comes to live in us, and he becomes the one who reorders our mind and our heart, he gives us new desires, new affections, new principles, so that we begin to love God for who we see him to be in his Word, and we want to live for him. And not just here and there and this moment, that moment, but no, all the time and in everything. It's the Spirit of God who makes someone say, I'm not my own anymore. I belong to God. And I offer my body a living sacrifice to God. It's the Spirit of God who comes sometimes to convict us of our sin and shortcoming and to drive us back to Christ. It's the Spirit of God who fills us with holy energy and power, who changes us from the inside out, who makes our heart tender, who keeps them tender. And so to live always reverent and never hardening our heart, and to know the true happiness and blessing of that, we must live in dependence of the Spirit. We must learn to say to the Spirit, help me, lead me, work in me, change me, keep me, cleanse me, renew me. That's the key. Look to Jesus. Cry to the Spirit. Is that part of your daily routine? Will that be what marks you this year? It's what God aims at with all his people, you know. And eventually he gets there. It's often a slow process because we can be so slow to learn. But through his word and in his faithfulness and by his grace, he gets there. Let the message of this morning be then a means in his hand to help also that process along in your life. To learn by his grace to be always reverent, never hardening our heart. And to learn that through looking to Jesus and depending on his Spirit. Then we will know the happiness of which our text speaks. Happy. Happy is the man who is always reverent. And then we can have a happy new year and happy years. All the years that we are given in this world. And then think of in the glory to come with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for 10,000 years and endless more. Think of that. Happy, happy in the presence of God. Oh, how right on our text is when it says, happy is the man who is always reverent. God, make us all to be so. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we give thanks for your word, and we thank you for the pointedness with which it speaks. On the one hand, uncovering our irreverence. By nature, we don't tremble. How audacious, how foolish on our part. We don't tremble. We even dare to rebel. But Lord, we pray, overcome that by the power of your grace and change us and grant that we may all have tender hearts, new hearts. Grant that we may submit ourselves to your word, to the gospel, and to all of your commandments, that we may walk with you in life and that we may revere you in all things and that we may do so consistently, day by day and hour by hour and moment by moment. And Lord, help us then so to live also in this new year. Never hardening ourselves. We do not want to fall into calamity. We thank you for Jesus, who came to live always reverent, and then fell into calamity. Who can measure, Lord, his perfection? Who can measure also the depth of his sufferings? But we know that through him we can be delivered, we can be cleansed, we can become new. We pray, therefore, for grace to look to him and to be filled with his Spirit, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us also today. And we pray that you would so mark us, Lord, by this word in a way that we reflect its truths. Even as we leave from here and as we go on into this new year, may we be a people known to be always reverent, and to enjoy also the happiness that flows from that. Oh, bless us, we pray, and thank you again for this opportunity to be together. Take us safely to our homes and watch over us and strengthen us throughout this day of rest. In Jesus' name, we pray.